Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Senator, we welcome you this morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Hope you and your listeners are as well. Always great to be with you.
Always great to have you, sir. Let's get right into it. You recently returned from the Texas border where you saw detention centers. Tell us what you saw. How did you feel?
What I saw was children separated from parents, people of all ages without adequate space, having to stand, many of them behind cages, without adequate hygiene and nutritional help, really conditions that were deplorable, overcrowding, and many of them confined for longer than the 72-hour limit that was supposed to apply. So I am continuing to press for more assistance, but also fundamental comprehensive immigration reform. The sights and sounds and smells really, I think, would deeply trouble and haunt anyone who visited those detention facilities. We went to three of them along the border, all of them in McAllen, some for women, some for men, others for families, and many of them for children separated from their parents.
Senator Blumenthal, that's really hard to swallow when you describe things like that. And I just wonder sometimes why those images aren't put out there for more of us to know, only because I do think that whether you support or don't support the president or any of the things that are going on, trying to keep immigration efforts down and things like that. Personally, I can't imagine seeing my husband or my child or anyone I love, my parents, anybody I love, being treated like that, let alone people I don't even know. No human should be treated like a caged animal.
Well, that's a really good point. Whether you support the president's immigration policy or oppose it, we should not have a policy of intentional cruelty and harshness, which seems to be what's happening there. And there are ways to avoid it. For example, more of the asylum processing could be done in the countries of origin where these people are seeking to flee persecution. Remember, they are seeking asylum here in the face of violence condoned by their own governments, rape, murder by the gangs who are dealing in drugs. And so they are literally walking across Mexico with their children, sometimes unaccompanied children. And I met one man at the border with his two-year-old child. He had walked across Mexico. They were both fearful they would be separated, but he said, as I looked into his eyes and his daughter's two-year-old brown eyes, he said, at least here she will survive. I may not be with her. I may have to find her again. I may be separated from her, but at least she will have a life. She'll be able to survive. So people are coming here to escape those conditions, and if we work on improving those conditions in those Central American countries, maybe few of them will have to seek asylum and flee the persecution there.
Wow, really powerful stuff. Thank you, Senator. We want to just switch gears really quickly because one of our top stories this morning, I know, is something we've talked to you about numerous times here on the show. Facebook has just been called out by the FTC over privacy violations. Do you feel the FTC is like a little too late? Do you feel that they've done the right thing? What are your thoughts kind of on people's protection in Facebook?
Too little, too late. Too little because it really doesn't deal with the fundamental structural and rule reforms that need to be done. You know, they will continue to use and misuse your data, monetizing it and selling it and exchanging it with others. People need to understand they are not the consumer, they're the product, because their information is what Facebook in effect monetizes. And it's too late because they have waited for years since 2011, the consent decree that Facebook signed, to implement and enforce this consent decree. So there has to be much more fundamental structural reform, maybe breaking up Facebook, but certainly guardrails and rules to protect our privacy so that we're in control of all this information. We're talking about financial information, medical information, information about our families, all of it Facebook has because we shopped on its apps and networks, and it has control over it. We should have control over it.
We're speaking with Senator Richard Blumenthal, our weekly visit with him. Mayor Joe Ganim was in Washington last week, and he talked about expanding Sikorsky, getting more commercial flights, possibly for Connecticut residents. Your thoughts on expanding our local airports like Sikorsky or Tweed in New Haven, even Bradley? What do you think?
Expanding airports makes sense as long as it is consistent with the needs and life quality of residents who live in the area. There are ways of doing it at Bradley, for example, that have no impact on surrounding residential areas, increasing the number of flights coming in and out, but expanding the range of service. At Sikorsky, I'm working with Mayor Ganim in talking to the FAA about possible approvals of new or different expanded runways. But again, people who live in the area need to be consulted, and they have to give some approval for it, or local support will be undermined. And I think regionally it could be a real powerhouse economically. It could provide people easy access to Chicago, Los Angeles, without having to drive into New York and endure the traffic to LaGuardia or Kennedy and the wait times that may exist there. So I think it could really be a driver economically, bring more jobs to the area. Has to be done consistent with residents and residential areas.
Senator, we thank you for taking a few minutes every Thursday like this. It really is informative, and it really is a popular spot. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Always great to be with you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. That's Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
And with us live on the line this morning, we have Senator Tony Wong. Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Melissa. Good morning.
I'm so glad that you could be with us. One of our top stories this morning was a decision that was made yesterday by the governor. He wants to up the safety at both Ward and Ludlow High Schools, which I think is great. But the only question is when you look at something like close to $90,000, what are we seeing? You know, what is in this construction package for the two schools?
Well, let me clarify. The announcement by the governor yesterday is an additional money that he has allocated to be able to provide proper resource officers and specific allocation to each school district in the state that is separate from the bond construction bonding that we're talking about. So that's another positive that I applaud the governor and his initiative and his focus on school safety and security. The money that you're talking about is part of a school construction fund that we pass out. That's part of a bonding package that's not part of the general budget, but that is focused specifically on repair, renovation, and new school construction reimbursements. The most important part of this discussion is that school safety and security is absolutely priority number one for me. And it is one that has overwhelming support in the General Assembly, and it is truly bipartisan. So I think despite all the bickering that you hear about the budget process, about how we administer and run the state government, one thing is unified is the fact that school safety, security, and our education is first and foremost a bipartisan and unified one. And I think that is absolutely important to note that education, school safety is absolutely bipartisan, and we fully support it, and it's the right thing to do.
Now, if you took that money out of the picture, Tony, what would it mean? What would it mean to the two schools?
Well, the issue would be that the towns would foot the cost of maintaining school and security. And one of the things that we have done as a legislative body is recognizing that school security and safety is paramount. And as part of that, we're going to help each of our respective towns do what they need to ensure the safety of the students, faculty, administrators, employees there, that when a child goes to school, that they are going to be safe and they're going to safely return home. So it is part of the partnership that we have, and that money is absolutely essential to offset the cost of doing the things I need to do. And I want to share that our Fairfield Board of Education and the Fairfield Police Department School Safety Unit did a great job doing the assessment, and it is continuous. And they have done great job for years to ensure that every assessment and every measure has been taken to protect our kids' safety.
You know, Tony, you, Tony Reno, myself, all parents, I think it goes without saying, the second that you let your child walk out the front door, get on the bus, however it may be, there's always now this instilled fear, I think, in the last few years, where you hope to God your child comes right back home at the end of the day. And I think when you hear about these kinds of packages, sometimes you don't even really care what the dollar amount is. You just want to know that your child is as safe as possible.
Oh, without a doubt. And this is where I compliment not just the Fairfield Police Department, but every police department, school safety unit, in collaboration with the town leaders and the Board of Education. The assessment is continuous. The vigilance and the diligence in which all of our communities have undertaken in regards to school safety is to be applauded and to be acknowledged. And this is an opportunity for us to say thank you, because they're continuously vigilant and watching to ensure that every individual, when they go off to school, is safe. But also combining with the fact that we're not trying to create a fortress in our schools. We want to maintain that balance between a free-flowing educational environment that individuals are there to express, learn, and create without the idea of having an oversight all over us. So it's a delicate balance, but our law enforcement and our Board of Education throughout the state, through these continuous assessments and contributions of funds to make it better, is something that we should applaud. I mean, it is absolutely a priority. Another thing that I share with you is 3 years ago, we passed out a bill with regards to increasing the penalty for individuals that make school threats. So if you make threats through the phone, through email, to undermine the confidence that our children and our staff and faculty are safe, we're going to increase that penalty from just a misdemeanor to now a felony, because no one should ever threaten or undermine the confidence we have in the safety of our and security of our schools for our children.
It should be a felony. That's I think.
Well,
that's
it is now,
yeah,
under law, a threat to do so. It's no longer a prank. It's no longer a laughing matter. The trauma that it causes of everyone, parents, is overwhelming. So as a result, we made the change in the law that is in concert with these assessments that we're making, is to reassure and to do our best every single day that school safety and security is paramount, and it is bipartisan, it is overwhelmingly unanimous, that this is a focus that we all take very seriously as lawmakers.
Tony Wong, I thank you for taking a few minutes. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I know we're going to speak to you real soon again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And we have Maritza Bond with us. She's our health director right here in Bridgeport. Good morning, Maritza. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you. How's everyone doing?
Well, we're doing fine. Tony and I were just talking about getting tick bites. And actually, Tony and I were saying if it got us on the back of the neck or right bullseye in our back or something, we wouldn't know the difference. Right, Tony?
I
mean, we wouldn't know.
Yeah. And it could go on undetected for a long, long time in a case
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, how do you prevent it? I mean, where do I always hear ticks? You can get that if you're gardening or whatever the case
hiking,
is.
Hiking.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. What's the first thing you've got to do to prevent yourself from being bitten by a tick?
So when people are going to be outdoors, and this is a season when a lot of people are doing camping trips and they're out in the woods, or, you know, the grass, it tends to grow a lot because of the amount of rain that we're getting. We really want to ask people to wear the proper clothing when they're outside. Wearing light-colored and tick-repellent clothing tucking your pants if you're going to be wearing pants into your socks, trying to wear long, it's impossible to wear long sleeves in the summer, but if you're going to be out doing any type of cutting the grass or cutting, you know, trimming your trees and shrubs, and just making sure that you wear proper clothing and really using, you know, FDA-approved bug spray, because that's going to be really important for you to be protected.
But I think sometimes, Maritza, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times, I know just for myself, when I'm hiking, I'm out with my husband and my son and my dog, a lot of times we think, well, it's really hot outside. I don't want to wear long clothing. Or mm-hmm. even at the end of the hike, we'll come home and, oh, we're so exhausted. Let's just sit on the couch. And we don't really think about, hey, let's just check really quickly. Did the baby get anything? Did you or I get anything? Let's check the dog. I mean, you're talking about a matter of a couple of minutes, but I think a lot of times that gets completely swept under the rug.
It does. And so what we encourage individuals to do is to check. So do a daily full body tick check on yourselves, on your children, your pets, and your gear. So when you come in, immediately taking off that gear, you know, rubbing, checking your pets, especially your pets and your children, and then checking each other, just like you mentioned when the beginning of our interview, that you may not know that you have it. So having someone else look at your body to just do a common check to make sure that there's no visible bites, because we know currently that this is the month, the June is the peak, and then early July, and we're in the midst of this peak where deer ticks are in the season of breeding. And so we want to be careful with doing that. And if you find that you have been bitten by a tick, is using tweezers to remove the attached ticks by slowly pulling them straight out and being careful by pulling them. And you can always put them in a Ziploc bag, and we can bring them to the state lab, and we can test it for you to make sure that you are not at risk of being exposed to Lyme disease.
All right. Now, what if a tick bite goes undetected? What can happen to you?
There are some symptoms that you should be wary about, because some of them are subtle and some of them are not. So some people are very sensitive today, and they'll two bites and they'll have a bullseye rash, but 50% of the population does not. And so just be careful if you notice a skin rash, or if you're feeling fatigue, having chills, or even a fever. You know, all of a sudden you're getting headache or like muscle or joint aches or even swollen lymph nodes. So we want to pay attention to your body, because your body will react to it, and it would just vary on an individual's tolerance of that bite.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The only thing I was thinking about is Lyme disease, and I think sometimes there's a common misconception that Lyme disease is curable, but that doesn't mean that, if I get it, oh, well, big deal. This could really change your life if you get Lyme disease.
Absolutely. Across the country, we had 36 fatal deaths between 2002 and 2007. And in Fairfield County, just last year, we had 289 individuals infected with Lyme disease, and 13 were in Bridgeport. And so many people also have a misconception that it's not an urban issue, that this is a rural issue. And oftentimes we leave the urban city to go, you know, elsewhere, to go camping in rural areas in the state or out of city. And so this is a all issue across the country, in all 50 states. I mean, we see it, and it's been common, and there's a lot of myths out there. And so it's important that we know the triggers, especially in this peak season, that they're breeding, and making sure that we're protecting ourselves, our children, and also our pets.
The health director right here in Bridgeport, Maritza Bond, is joining us live on the air right now, and we're talking about tick bite prevention.
Mariska, we were a couple of years ago, the famous pitcher Tom Seaver, he was showing signs of dementia. And
wow.
They found out, or they thought, the reason why he was showing signs of dementia was that he had Lyme disease, and it went undetected. It was affecting his memory. It was affecting a lot of things. They took care of it, and he was all right for a little while. And now, ironically, he does have dementia. Is there a correlation between the two?
I haven't actually seen or read any research that there is a direct correlation. I know that when it's not detected, that it can affect your body in different ways. And so it's very important for individuals to know that when you're experiencing subtle symptoms, not to ignore them and to really contact your provider to ensure that you address any symptoms that you may have and not just dismissing the fact that you were bit by something, especially if you know that you found a tick bite on your body.
All right, Maritza Bond, we appreciate your input, especially because you said we're kind of at the height of ticks kind of getting in your way, right? That this is the time that we need to be proactive,
but
not reactive.
Exactly. So the nymph ticks is right before they become adults, and they're the size of a poppy seed, and it's hard to even detect that they're on your body because they're so little. So it's really important to do those check measures that we mentioned and to take action on making sure that you properly remove the tick bites, the ticks that are on anyone's body by using those tweezers. And so, again, if you feel like you have been infected by a potential tick bite, make sure you contact your providers immediately and get yourself checked.
All right, Maritza, thank you so much. Some really good information, especially right now, right in the smack dab middle of the summertime. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
It's a great day in the city of Bridgeport, and I'll tell you why. The Columbus Day Parade is returning to the city streets for its 111th year after the city council agreed to resume paying the police overtime costs. Now, this is a big, big deal, folks, because Bridgeport lost the parade last year. Last year, Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti, he came to the rescue, and he offered to host it. We did go down, or go into Shelton. We did the parade, and he was very gracious. The city was very gracious. We had a great time. However, Bridgeport is our home for this parade. With me here on the line is Chris Caruso. Now, Chris is a very, very big part of the Columbus Day Parade. Chris, how you doing this morning, my friend?
Good morning, Tony. Always good to hear from you.
Now, you must be doing the dadandel there in your kitchen because the parade is coming back where it belongs, to the city of Bridgeport, 111 years. Wait, this is the longest-running Columbus Day Parade in the whole country.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say the country, Tony, but definitely in Connecticut and
parts of
the Northeast. And it is a great tradition for the city of Bridgeport, no question about it. You know, back in 1908, the Italian community organized the very first parade. At that time, President Theodore Roosevelt sent the Marine Band to perform in the parade. He also sent American vessels to come into the harbor to be part of the events as well. So it's a long-standing tradition for Bridgeport, and as you said, this year it comes back again. It's 111 years old, and the tradition continues.
Well, that certainly is good news. Like I said, you know, you were there last year. Of course you were there last year. I was there, and it was a great time at Shelton. It really, really was. But the parade belongs here on the streets of Bridgeport. And I know you were here last year. We were talking about it. You sat in this chair right across from me, and we were off the mic, and I said, geez, this is a shame that it's not going to be in Bridgeport. And you said, don't be scared. It's going to come back. Eventually it will come back to Bridgeport, and your words, they rang true.
Yeah, you know, things happen. You know, last year, a purely business decision, well, we couldn't hold it in Bridgeport because of the overtime costs with the police department. But, you know, we also felt there may be a way the following year that we could come back. And I give a lot of credit to the city council, in particular, A.D. Nieves, who's the council president. She worked over the last year with not only myself, but all the parades in Bridgeport to ensure that those costs would be covered, and they are this year. So that made it possible to bring the parade back, and, you know, we're very appreciative to her. I think she understands the value of the parades in Bridgeport, you know, from an economic boon, from a cultural celebration, from an historical significance. It means a lot to Bridgeport. That's really part of the soul of the city, is the cultural and heritage celebrations that parades offer. And she and the city council saw that value and worked to make it happen this year.
Well,
so we're very happy about it.
We're talking with Chris Caruso. We're talking about the Columbus Day Parade returning to Bridgeport, where it belongs. I'm reading the article today in the Connecticut Post, and A.D. Nevis, the best line of the whole thing was, quote, losing the parade last year was not one of our best moments. And, and that's a very cool thing for her to say this morning. It really is.
And you know, Tony, we right after last year what happened, I reached out to A.D. Nieves as the council president, and I got together all the various parades, and we met with her. And we really didn't have to sell her on this. Last year at our various celebration events, our Grand Marshal dinner, at our Columbus Leadership Awards dinner, she attended, and she made the statement to everyone in the audience that she was going to work to bring the parade back this year. And she did. She held true to her word. She helped organize it with all the parades. And this is not just for the Columbus Day Parade. It's for all the parades, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Juneteenth Parade, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, all of the parades, Black Rock Day Parade. All of various parades are going to benefit by this. And in turn, the city benefits, because every time you have a parade, people come down, they buy from the local businesses. You know, all of the various businesses do well. For example, we advertise on WICC and the local newspapers. So it's a benefit to everyone. And it's an opportunity for the community to celebrate the heritage of that community. You know, the Italian community in Bridgeport at one time was almost the second largest concentration of Italians next to New York and because of Ellis Island. You know, we had so many Italians living in the city of Bridgeport. So the celebration of Columbus Day was a natural, and that's continued for 111 years.
Chris, we are running out of time, but it's all set, ready to go. When is the parade scheduled this year?
It's October 13th, which is a Sunday, the day right before the official day of Columbus Day. It's that Sunday right before the Monday, and that's October 13th. Same location, Tony. It's going to be Wayne and Jewett Avenue in Bridgeport, south on Wayne to Madison Avenue, and it will end near Michelizzi Italian Ice, where we'll have an Italian street festival taking place. So the tradition continues. We want everyone to come out again to celebrate the return of the parade. That's why we've announced it so early to, you know, let people know about it. Again, we want to thank A.D. Nieves and the council of the city of Bridgeport for their support. And as I've always said, the tradition continues in Bridgeport. One final note, Tony, I want to thank Mayor Loretti. I want to thank the people of Shelton who just generously opened their arms to us to allow us to come last year. We are talking to the mayor about doing some type of Columbus event as part of the celebration in Shelton this year or next year. We want to thank them by doing this event and maybe make it part of their annual calendar in celebration of Columbus.
Chris, thank you so much. Of course, we're going to have you on the air several times as we get closer to parade time. But once again, you told me not to be scared, and you told me that the parade would be back in town. And, boy, you were true to your word. This is great. Thank you so very, very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Good work, Chris.
Okay. Take care, Tony.
All right, my friend. I understand, Melissa, you had an interesting day yesterday. Where were you, at the grocery store with Chase?
I was at Carter's.
Carter's. Okay.
So the baby store.
Okay.
The clothing store. And he's in dire need of shorts. The poor boy has outgrown everything. He's like his father. He grows like a string bean, and he is just so tall, and he's outgrown almost all of his shorts. So I wanted to get him new shorts yesterday. So I was at Carter's, and I was really upset because I've never had this issue before. Chase is actually one of the calmest children, and I of course I'm a little biased, but I could go to the grocery store. This boy laughs. He's happy. He's engaging with people. But when you take him into a store where there are toys and clothes and a lot of colors, he's going to want to pull things down off the shelves. So we're in Carter's. I have two pairs of shorts, and I just want to buy these shorts. And he is grabbing at everything. And there were a couple people ahead of me. So I told the woman at the front desk, you know, here, I'm going to leave the shorts here. I'm going to just walk around with him because he's just getting fussy and he's going to ruin your store. No problem. Let me know when the line is done. I'll come back. So I'm watching. The line is basically done. So I pick Chase up and he starts to have a meltdown. Like, listen, I'm looking at all this stuff and he's having a meltdown. So I walk over to the desk and this woman steps right in front of me and says, I just have to make a quick exchange and I didn't see you in line. And I'm like, ma'am, I got a yelling toddler right now. Like, can I just buy these two pairs of shorts? Please, I just got to get out of this store, please. And she said, no, seriously, this will only take me a minute. Well, 10 minutes later, she was done with her exchange. And Chase basically ripped down two complete displays. And I didn't apologize for it. So my question this morning to you, Tony, was, do you think in situations, and again, I'm sure I'm biased because I'm a mom, but do you think that if you have young children, you know, really babies, if I will, do you let them skip the line to avoid any kind of that kind of happening, those outbursts happening? Because I know for myself, I've let plenty of people skip me. If it seems like they're in turmoil, they got to get out of the store, their child's having a meltdown, they don't feel good, I just always say, here, just go ahead of me. I'm in no rush. But this woman was not going to let me skip the line. And I don't know. It really bugged me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, from a personal level, first of all, if I'm in line, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to hear your crying kid.
Right.
So I'm going to say, here, by all means.
Please get out of here.
Go ahead of me. I'm going to do that. But that's a matter of politeness. That's a matter of helping somebody out. That's a matter of just being nice. You know, just being nice. I mean, of course, I would let you through. I do that in general. If I'm standing in line and I've got a bunch of stuff, but there's a guy behind me that's got a pack of gum that he wants to pay for, I always say, sir, why don't you go ahead of me?
Right.
Nine times out of ten, they'll say, no, I'll wait my turn.
But you still offer.
But you still offer. In a situation like that, yes, I would have said, by all means, go ahead of me and get out of here.
I thought the same thing. I felt bad. Like I said, I felt badly. I'm sitting there, I'm holding this kid who is clearly, I mean, the arms are going, the feet are going, the screaming, and it's not a big store, so there's a few other shoppers looking around like, I'm the crazy one here, and I just thought, can I just buy these two pairs of shorts? I just need to get this kid into shorts, because it's too hot for him to wear pants, but he can't not wear, you know, something. It's just inappropriate for him to not have something, just the diaper.
So is that the question of the day?
The question of the day is, would you allow people to cut the line if they either have small children or, like you said, Tony, if it's a situation where you have more stuff and they've got one thing, is it okay to let people skip the line? Would you do it? And I was going to post a picture of me and Chase on there because a lot of people have asked, can they see Chase? And I've been very hesitant to do it, but I'm going to post a picture of Chase and I. This was actually an hour after we went shopping yesterday because finally he was in a better mood. And I want to know if people think it's okay to skip the line. If you have young children or, you know, if you're causing a ruckus, is it okay to just skip the line?
Sure, absolutely. See what you think. We'll read back your answers at 8:30 this morning here on WACC 600. Go to our Facebook page and see what that's all about. But I just think that's common courtesy. You know, give these ladies with little babies a little break, will you please? Now, Melissa had a little bit of a run-in, I guess you could say, at a department store. Her son kind of acted up, which he doesn't usually do, but he did yesterday. And we were asking you, you know, is it okay to say to a mother who's got a child and you're in line, is it okay to say, would you say, by all means, go ahead of me. You've got your hands full. Let's make it easier on the mother. And you ran into somebody who said absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly. We were doing okay. We were at Carter's yesterday. I just had to buy a couple pairs of shorts for my son because it's gotten a little unacceptable that he's a year old and sometimes he'll walk into places without just having his diaper on and no shorts on. So I thought, let's get him some more. He's growing a lot. Let's just get him a couple pairs. And it was busy yesterday. I tried to keep him occupied. I didn't want him to start ripping things off the shelves or things like that. And I walked away and I told the woman at the desk, hey, just let me know when the line is short and I'll come back. Just hold my items. She was fine with it. And when I came back, a woman kind of just stepped right in front of me and said, I just have to make a quick exchange and you weren't standing in line. And I said, I just have to buy these two pairs of shorts, please. And she said, no, seriously, this will just take a minute. And it was 10 minutes later. And Chase is losing it. I showed you, Tony, there was a video. I put him in my cart. I'm pushing him around in this little dinky cart thing. And I just tried to do everything I could, but he was just losing it. And I thought, really? I just couldn't take 30 seconds and just kind of skip the line. So I wanted to know what everybody thought. And we really got some great feedback from people on Facebook.
Yeah, like Lucille, she said, I don't like to see little ones cry, but everyone's time is important too. I've had this happen with my kids and grandkids, but she does qualify it by saying that Chase is adorable.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Thank you, Lucille. Pamela said, I always let moms of little ones go in front of me. It benefits me and them. So yeah. You said that, Tony. You were like, oh my gosh, it gives me headaches. Just go ahead of me.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, not for anything. Chase is a beautiful child, but I don't want to hear him cry.
I wouldn't either.
You know, all right, if you can make it easy around the mom and the child, why not? Ida said, I would have let her go first. Come on.
Thank you, Ida. Okay. That's how I feel about it. Anthony said, it depends on the situation. This time, it seems like they should have let you go. Anytime someone's going to be a while, they should let people go in front of them. And he went into some examples. You and I talked about this, Tony. If you've got a couple items in your cart, or you've got a lot, I should say, and somebody else behind you maybe has a pack of gum, just let them go ahead of you. I mean, why waste their time? So he brought that up as well.
Well, I go to a convenience store that's right around the corner from my house, and I get my newspaper. Sometimes I get lottery numbers, but you get the same people in there all the time that get their lottery numbers, and it's just not, I'll take one quick pick, and you pay, and you walk out. It's always, can I get the combination 2456? Now I want 5692. Give me 2, 3, 4, 5 and double box that and rearrange it. It goes on for hours.
Right.
Okay? And now you're standing in line.
I just want my newspaper.
And you're burning. All you want to do is, you know, and a lot of times you pay for the newspaper and you've got a five. And there ain't no way I'm paying $5 for a newspaper and walking out. But the girl behind the desk, Suni, she's a beautiful woman. She'll stop what she's doing and she'll say, hold on 1 second, Mr. Smith. Tony, what do you have? I says, I just got the newspaper. Okay, that's $1.50. Give her, you
right.
know what I mean?
They sometimes will be aware and they'll, right. they I've noticed that before too, where they'll say, you know what, let me go to a different lane or something
right.
like that. I've noticed that.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Mandy said, I think it's a matter of courtesy. I would tell you to go ahead of me because I hardly ever am in a hurry. But sometimes there is a van waiting for seniors. And in that case, I would hurry up myself. We are given an hour to grocery shop and be ready when the van returns. See, you were saying that this morning, that some of these seniors, they've only got a certain amount of time before the van is going to take off.
Yeah, and I actually learned that from my grandmother a long time ago because a lot of her friends go to the senior center and this is one of the services they give them. And whenever we were in line, I can remember being a little kid and thinking, oh, come on, I don't want people to skip us. And my grandma would say, you listen, you have all the time in the world. You're blessed. You get to come here whenever you want. You let people skip you and you be patient. Okay, grandma, sounds good. Lauren says, yes, if kids are starting to lose it, by all means, parents should skip the line. I've been there with my son who's little. There are times I just couldn't wait, so I just left the store without buying and I just walked out. I thought the same thing, Lauren. I almost walked out, but we really needed those shorts.
Now, Lori says, I agree. If they're going to be taking their sweet old time, I hate it myself, but it's worse on the little ones.
Yeah, right. That's how I felt too. Lisa is our last comment that we're going to read. I think it would have been the courteous thing to do. However, I don't think it should be expected. Who knows what she had going on in her world at the moment. Also, patience never grows if it never gets tested.
Oh, ooh. Very smart,
very
Lisa.
Very wise, Lisa. I like that.
You should write that down and put it in a fortune cookie.